Hi, my name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltore, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Now, travel can take the form of virtual travel, or we can travel through time, or we can travel in reality and explore. All of these things I'll be doing on this channel. In this special series, I am focusing on a part of Quebec history that is near and dear to my heart, the story of Les filles du roi, or the king's daughters. These remarkable women came over and truly built North America in many respects. We will be exploring each and every one of these in a separate biography. Let's have a look at how it all started. Now, I have produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0. It is on my channel. Please have a look at it if you want to know more about the details, about the program, what the girls received, how they were selected, all of that good stuff, the periods of time where it was in effect. That would be really useful for you in terms of understanding your particular ancestor and how they adapted within the confines of the program. Let's turn our attention to one girl in particular. Her name was Anne Lamarre, and she is my 8 times great-grandmother. Anne was born in 1648 in Saint-Sulpice, Paris, France. Her father's name was Adrien Lamarre, and her mother was Marie Mercier. This is a picture of the Church of Saint-Sulpice, which is a Roman Catholic church, of course, in Paris, on the east side of Place Saint-Sulpice, in the Latin Quarter of the 6th arrondissement. And it is slightly smaller than Notre Dame, and thus the second largest church in Paris. And the construction of the present building, this church, dates from about the second, this was the second church in around 1646. So it is very likely that Anne was baptized in the church that we now look at. But the original church was built in the 13th century, which I think is remarkable. And this arrondissement where she was born in the 6th is one of the 20 arrondissements of the capital city of France. And in the arrondissement is referred to as Le Sixième. It's called Luxembourg in reference to the seat of the Senate and its garden, which is situated on the rive gauche of the River Seine. It includes world-famous educational institutions such as the École nationale supérieure des beaux-arts, the École des hautes études en sciences sociales, and the Institut de France, as well as a concentration of some of Paris's most famous monuments. Can be found here. So this is truly one of the city's creme de la creme spots in terms of the origins. And I suspect even during Anne's short period there, I believe that that would have been, you know, where she was a part of that milieu, if you will. However, she was not from the nobility. In fact, she was about 17 years of age when she left France. Her parents were still alive, as was indicated at, by the wedding record, which we'll see in a future slide. But she did bring, she did not bring a dowry with her, which indicates that the fact that her parents are alive and that she didn't have a dowry is an indication that they probably were impoverished. She was probably impoverished, and the decision to be recruited as a filles du roi was probably taken as an economic choice. What we do know about Anne is that, contrary to many, many filles du roi, she didn't get married right away. She didn't enter into a contract or anything. She was a witness to the marriage between fellow filles du roi and fellow traveler Catherine Normand and the groom Pierre Normand in October of 1665. The very accomplished notary, Pierre Duquette, presided over this. Guess what? That's how Anne must have met her eventual groom and lived with Catherine and Pierre for the next year. Again, a very unusual thing, but what a wonderful way to meet your prospective husband. Who was this Pierre Duquette? Pierre Duquette dit de la Chesnée. Okay, he is the very first groom that we see that was born in New France. He was born at Quebec City, January 14, 1643. And his parents, Denis Duquette and Catherine Gauthier, are part of the pioneering families of New France. Pierre was one of the very first pupils at the Jesuits College at Quebec City. Pierre was also part of the second French attempt to reach the Hudson Bay by land, led by Guillaume Couture in 1653. At 20, he purchased the register of Notary Adouard and was commissioned in 1663, making him the first Canadian-born notary. As the notary, he accompanied the Carignan Regiment into the Iroquois territory, signing the formal possession of the Iroquois villages on the 17th of October, 1666. Just remarkable, just remarkable. Finally, Pierre and Anne were married. She definitely married well. And in Quebec City, on the 8th of October, 1668. Let's review a little bit about Quebec City. It's the capital city of the province of Quebec. 500,000 people live directly in Quebec City today. Quebec was originally named by the Algonquins, who named the area Quebec, K-E-B-E-C, which in their native language meant where the river narrows. Quebec City lies where the St. Lawrence River narrows. Samuel Champlain founded a French settlement here back in 1608 and called it Ville de Quebec, or Quebec City. The city walls which surround it still date back to this time period, making Quebec City the only city with remaining city walls in North America. There's so much to see in Quebec City, but I've chosen five buildings that were there when Pierre and Anne lived in Quebec City. I like to imagine that I'm seeing what they saw. We start with Maison Jacquette. This house is the oldest surviving private residence in Quebec. It dates from 1675, and if you'd like to tour it, it is home to a famous restaurant appropriately called Aux Anciens Canadiens, roughly translated to our old Canadians or our historic Canadians. Auberge, the second photo on the left hand of your screen, is Auberge Place Down, dates from 1620, and was built for one of the pioneers of New France, Guillaume Couillard. A wonderful restaurant called Bistro 1640 is found on the first floor. The Auberge du Trésor Hotel occupies the upper two floors. Imagine walking in there and knowing that your ancestor, you know, could have seen this or been in there. Don't know. Now, the next building or the next picture I have is on the upper right, and it is the Petit Champlain, it's called, is the oldest commercial district in North America. So walking the cobblestone streets, truly an amazing experience. And I have done that. I actually have. The history of the break, the next one is the breakneck staircase. In 1620, Samuel de Champlain, the founder of Quebec City, decided to build his home at the top of Cape Diamant. He decided, then he drew a road, Côté de la Montagne, which still follows the same route today. A path was then created to bypass a steep incline. French colonial authorities then had stairs and the landings built, and this structure was called the Champlain Stairs, or Beggar's Stairs. In 1893, the wooden staircase was replaced by a larger iron one with three banisters. The one in place today dates back to the late 1960s. It was at this time that it became known as the breakneck staircase, Escalier Casse-Cou. in French, a term coined by British tour guides. No serious injuries have ever been reported on the stairs, despite their ominous name. And then finally, the Ursuline Monastery of Quebec. This was French, a group of Ursuline nuns in 1639 established this under the leadership of Marie of the Incarnation. It's the oldest institution of learning for women in North America. Today, the monastery serves as the general mother house of the Ursuline Sisters of the Canadian Union. The community there also operates in a historical museum, I've never been, and continues to serve as a teaching center. So these are all buildings that existed when the subject and Lamarre and Pierre were here. I just love that idea. Pierre was awarded the Seigneurie of Duquette near Saint Antoine de Denis in 1672, and in 1675 he was granted another seigneurie, that of Montpellier. I believe that the first seigneurie was inherited eventually by his second daughter, who sold it near the end of her life to the Hôtel Général de Québec in 1733. So if you're in Quebec City, if you go to that hospital, you will know that part of that land was your family, if this is your family line. So now we look at the family that they created. They had 9 children, only 3 of whom survived. We have Denis, Jean, and Anne-Suzanne, all who died essentially at birth. Then we have the 4th child, Jean. He was born in 1671, and he was present at the marriage of one of his sisters. That would make him about 27, but I have no other information on him. Extremely frustrating. So we'll, keep working on that. My direct ancestor, Anne Marguerite, she married a man named Jean Thomas, who actually, his name was John Thomas, and he was actually from England. And that's a story for another day, but it's a fascinating story. I promise I'll tell it. And they had 9 children, only 2 of whom made it to adulthood. Thankfully, one of them was another ancestor. And then Catherine Algenic married Jean-Baptiste Miranda and adopted a daughter and had a son, both of whom made it to adulthood. And then we have Alexandre Pierre and François Pierre, all of whom did not make it to adulthood. Pierre died in October 1687 at the very young age of 45, and Anne lived on for another 11 years, dying at the also young age of 52 in 1698. As far as I can tell, they are not buried together. Pierre is buried at Notre-Dame, where his father and mother actually are, and Anne is buried in the hospital cemetery of Hôtel-Dieu. It's possible that she died of a contagious disease and they had to be buried quickly. There, I have no other information. I searched in vain for her death record, but so far, nothing. No luck. So despite their very brief time, I think Anne and Pierre really made it. Certainly Pierre, with all of his activities, his contracts, his notaries, you can look him up. He's in the book. He's in, on the internet, and he's listed as a pioneer. So that makes me very, very proud. But dying at such a young age, they fill their lives. And this is the story I see a lot of. Sometimes they're brief, shining moments, they were able to produce at least 2 children who then produced more children to carry on their line. And hopefully I can sometime find their son, Jean. Maybe there's something out there that I and somebody will write to me and say, no, I have the connection, which I would be thrilled about. So with that, we will close up another biography of a fille du roi. This one was number 17. I look forward to number 18. We will see you soon. Au revoir.